Thanks for the introduction. Good morning. So these are my co-authors, and they are from Australian National University and IBM TJ Watson Research Center. So can you hear me now? Okay. So these are my co-authors, and they are from Australian National University and IBM TJ Watson Research Center. So in our talk, what we are going to do is try to remove this thing from here. Okay. So, in 1990s and early 2000s, single core performance was getting better and better. Software vendors tried to use this opportunity to make programmer more productive. And so they were adding more and more cool stuff to the software. But now this free lunch is over. Now this is the multi-core era. So the software, the design of the software has now taken a twist. Now each and every software are trying to be more and more concurrent so that they can best utilize the performance of this new hardware. Okay, so, but is there any challenge for this? Yes, there is. And what they are? These modern hardware require software parallelism, and it's not always easy to parallelize your application. You may try to hard code the optimization into it, but you may not get the true performance. Okay, so what is the goal? The ultimate goal is to get performance and productivity both at the same pace. But this is not something new. Already the research community is working, you know, too much on this area. And let's see now the most relevant work. So the earliest dates back as long as, you know, early 1990s, which was lazy task creation. And here, so the author tried to create the task only when the compute resource become available. Later on, Silk 5 language came, which has a language syntax to give the compiler hint how you can optimize, and the compiler has a work stealing runtime which takes care of parallelizing your work. Then it was a Java fork join framework, a library based approach to work stealing. And in the most recent, it is Xtend language, which is also a language based approach. So the programmer gave hints to the compiler, and the compiler inserts the call to the runtime, and the work stealing runtime, you know, takes care of the parallelism. And Xtend is also can also use a managed runtime, you know, to abstract the hardware complexities. Okay, so what we have learned? We have seen that there are language-based features to expose parallelism, and they use dynamic task parallelism, and work stealing is the perfect candidate for that. And they're also using a runtime to hard their hardware complexities. Okay, so what are the contributions of our work? There are basically four contributions. The first is in-depth analysis of the different sources of overhead in a work stealing runtime. And we are introducing two new configurations where we try to leverage the existing mechanisms in the JVM, modern JVM, and try to reduce these overheads. And we have used quite famous, you know, benchmarks. It's like 8 test cases for our detailed performance study. And we try to see the performance result, how well, you know, we perform in our these two new configurations. So before we go much further, let's try to give a brief overview of work stealing. I know many of you will be quite aware of this, but still, I'll try to explain with the help of a cartoon. So suppose this is you. You have got too much of work to do. And now you can't finish it in a short span of time. Suddenly you get a friend who is free, and he appears out of nowhere, and he is ready to help you. Both of you are happy now. Okay, but how to coordinate so that both of you can, you know, do the task in parallel? One possible way to do that is this. You start working from one end, and your friends start taking the task from the other end, and you do the work on your own and finally combine these tasks together. And that's how you terminate the task. So when we talk about work stealing, there are three key points which we will keep using in our further slides. So I just want to stress on those three points. And they are, so this friend is now victim, and this guy is thief. This is the notion in the work stealing runtime. So those three points which I just mentioned are initiation, state management, and termination. So initiation is how do you coordinate the task with your friend. And now, once your friend, the thief, has taken a task, he should be well aware of the local context, the values of the context, like how to start the task. So the victim should have done, you know, a proper state management so that the thief can start the computation midway. And finally, they both have to, you know, terminate. So we call this as termination. So these are the three key terms: initiation, state management, and termination. Okay, so, but well, is there any overhead associated with these three key terminologies in the work stealing runtime? We'll try to see that in the further slides. So that's basically the motivating analysis for our work. But before we go much deeper into that, I'll quickly talk about the methodology we have used. So we have these 8 benchmarks, and we have for a hardware platform, we are dual socket Intel Xeon processor, total of 12 cores, and we are in maximum of 12 threads. And the software platform is JAXA VM 3.1.2 release. Okay, so now coming back to the analysis, motivating analysis. So let's try to understand the sequential overhead associated inside a work stealing runtime. So we have this chart, and this will show the geometric mean of, you know, all the considering all the 8 benchmarks we have. So on y-axis, it's the time for sequential Java. That is the time it's normalized to the sequential test case, sequential version of the test case. So let's see what is the overhead for initiation. So this is for initiation. For extend, the initiation is almost, I think, something like 70%. And here it's almost more than, you know, some 40%. Now, this is how it looks for state management, quite much more. And what about the last one, the termination? Well, we have it only for manage extend. We don't have that for fork join, because in fork join is a library-based approach, as I just mentioned. And so here the programmer has to himself code the calls to the work stealing runtime. But in extend, the programmer just hints the compiler, and it's the compiler who does the code restructuring and the code generation. So that's why we get some overhead with respect to termination in manage extend. Now let's see how it looks like for each and every benchmark. So first I'll show it for manage extend. And this is how it looks like. So here we have the y-axis on the logarithmic scale. And this is how it looks like for fork join. So one thing to note here is that for this particular test case LU decomposition, we don't have, we have almost negligible overhead for LU. Okay, so can you, let's do another analysis, and that is to find out how many tasks are actually stolen. So the victim is keep on producing the task, assuming the thief will steal, but how many of them actually get stolen? Can you think of that? Okay, so let's see that. And this is for manage extend. And if we see, it's very less. It ranges from, you know, 10 to the power minus 7 to 0.1. So very less tasks are being stolen. What about for fork join? Well, that also looks quite similar. So here we see that not all the tasks produced are stolen. So reason for this is that if you consider a divide and conquer style algorithm, then a single steal, you know, can move a substantial amount of work. So that's why, you know, for proper load balancing, we have this kind of, you know, steal ratio. And okay, so what are the takeaway points? So what we have seen so far, there are sequential overheads in work stealing runtime. They are namely 3: initiation, state management, and termination. And we have also seen the steal ratios are generally very low, and most tasks are consumed locally by the victim. So what do we get from all this, from this analysis? It's that the victim is spending way too much effort, you know, to actually to do something which is not always stolen. Okay, so what are the insights? So the insights are that we move the overhead from the common case to the rare case, and we try to reuse the existing mechanisms in the JVM and try to make a better configuration so that we can reduce this overhead. Okay, so, and what is the approach for our work? So for initiation, we try to use the victim's execution stack for initiation. For state management, we extract the states directly from the victim's stack and registers. And for termination, the victim dynamically switch versions of the code. Well, this is done, I think, in other runtime as well, but we are doing it much more aggressively by using Java exception handling, the try-catch block. So in general, you might think that the try-catch is, you know, very expensive, but this is not the case for our work, because the most expensive part is generating the user-level stack trace, which we don't want. We just do a very cheap VM stack walk. So it's pretty cheap for our configuration. So coming to implementation, we have two configurations. The first one we call as extendWS off stack. So these are the three key points inside that. We use victim execution stack for initiation, extract state directly from victim stack and registers, victim dynamically switch versions of the code, and the other design which we use, which other configuration which we have, is called extend try-catch. And this is all of the above, plus something more. And what are those two things? That is, we try exploiting try-catch semantics, and we have modified the existing extend compiler so that it can generate the try-catch blocks automatically for you. So now as this try-catch subsumes the design, you know, of extendWS extend off stack, so we will only talk about this particular configuration in this talk. Now let's see how actually we do this. For that, we will take a very simple extend test case, extend code. So here, you have statements S1 and S2. You mark S1 as async. So basically, you are saying that S1 and S2 can be executed in parallel. It's a hint to the compiler. And then you wrap it inside a finish. It means nothing after, you know, this part of block can be executed until unless both S1 and S2 have finished. Okay, so if we try to see how it look how it will look in a sequential version in plain Java, so it is something like this: simple S1 and S2. Okay, so we have the victim executing. Let's assume the victim is executing S1. Now, how we can allow the thief, you know, to branch into the computation midway so that it can only execute, he can directly start executing S2 and not S1. So for that, we see that, as we just saw, that this is marked as async. We wrap this S1 in a set of try-catch blocks like this. Okay, now let's assume the victim execution stack looks like this. We have this frame for method foo, and this S1 is the one which the victim is currently executing. Now the thief stack looks something like this. So thief is constantly searching for potential victims. He comes to this guy, and he see that this call is basically setting a flag saying that I have a continuations, which the victim has already executed, because right now he is inside S1. So the thief realized that this victim has some continuation. He forces this victim to execute the yield point mechanism, which is used in the modern JVM for many different purposes, like for garbage collection, OSR, and all those kinds of stuff. So victim stops relatively quickly, and then what our thief does is start walking the stack of the victim. Now it finds that the oldest possible continuation is inside this frame foo, and that is yes, because inside foo we have the S2. So what it does now is copy the frame, that is steal this frame from the execution stack of the victim onto its own stack, and then throws an exception. So exceptions are really having, you know, very unusual control flow, which is very much required required in a work stealing runtime. So we are using these exceptions, try-catch exceptions modeling. So thief throws an exception, which we say exception entry thief. Now this is the entry point for the thief, and then from there onward, the thief, you know, starts executing the statement S2. Okay, so let's assume the thief has finished before the victim finishes S1. In that case, the thief will now call a runtime method, which is called runtime.finish, And here, the thief will throw another exception, which we say exception thief. So to catch that exception, we have another set of try-catch block. And here, what the thief does is store the partial result, which is y. And then it has to check whether, you know, the victim has completed his work, which is S1. It finds out that no, the victim is still working. So it resumes being a thief and it starts searching for new victims. So now, meanwhile, our victim is back. He has finished executing S1, and then he will also try to do the same thing. So he will check if the thief has finished. That is, if S2 is completed, it was stolen. Yes, it was stolen. So in this case, it will throw this exception victim. So we have another set of catch block for that. In this, the victim first stores the partial result, which is X. And then it checks whether S2 is complete or not, but it is complete. So it throws another exception, which is exception fetch. And for that, we have another set of catch blocks here. Where the victim first gets the partial result which thief has already computed, which is Y, and then combine these two results and, you know, continues the computation further. But if it was a thief who finished before the victim, then he would have also thrown the same exception fetch, and which will be caught in this catch block, and it will take the partial result from the runtime of the victim and combine it and carry forward the computation. Okay, now, so if you try to correlate this with the three key terminology which we are continuously using, that is initiation, state management, and termination. So let's see which code block corresponds to which. So this is the part for initiation, this is the part for state management, and these are the parts for termination. Now let's see the performance evaluation. We will try to see what the new sequential overhead looks like. So here we have seen the fork join and extend look something like this. Now our system extendWS try catch is almost having a overhead of 40%. But here in extendWS try catch, we are using extend arrays, which are currently not that optimized because it is using get set wrapper routines over Java arrays. So we hand modify this code to use the Java arrays directly to reduce this array access overhead. And when we measure the performance, we see that it's just 12%, which is almost nothing compared to, you know, 200% in fork join and 400% in extend. Now let's see how it looks like for, you know, individual test cases. It looks something like this. We don't see anything for ALU because already there was sequential overhead, nothing. There was almost no sequential overhead. Now, okay, so this is for the single, this is the sequential overhead. Now, how does it affect, you know, that speed up when we try to see how it performs over the 12 threads? Let's try to see that. So for that, we will just show the one best case and the one worst case, and due to the lack of time. So let's first see the best case. So this is for Jacobi, and here we see that for extend, it's almost no speed up. So this speed up is compared to the sequential test case version. So anything above one is a speed up, anything below that is an overhead. So we see that we don't see almost any speed up for extend, but for fork join, it's almost 5x, but for our best system, which is JavaWS try catch, it goes up to 9x. So now let's come to the worst case, and this is the only worst case actually in our set of 8 test cases, and there is a reason for that, and this is LU actually. So here we see that we perform, you know, we didn't perform as good as, you know, fork join and extend. And why is that? Because of two reasons. The first is the LU benchmark is having almost zero sequential overhead, which we have seen already in the previous graphs. And second thing is LU is having very high steal ratio. So as you increase the total number of threads, the steal ratio, you know, it goes almost up to 8%, 9%. So in our system, we have to stop the victim to copy the stack. So this is becoming an overhead. So actually, this is something on which we are currently working. So this is the area of our future work. Now, let's try to summarize and conclude the talk. So we have seen that there are sequential overhead in a work stealing runtime, and namely there are three: initiation, state management, termination. And we try to reuse the existing mechanism inside modern JVMs. That is, for initiation, we are taking the execution stack of the victim. For state management, we are extracting from state stack and registers. For termination, we are using the try-catch block for code switching. And we have almost removed the sequential overhead from, you know, just from 400% in extent to just 12% in our best system. Thank you. Yes.
Let's go. Question first. I'll look at the third presenter in a minute. All right.
Yes.
So you guys probably know how this will go last time. The thing that struck me about this talk is that the worst case of cases where there's a multiple stealing just so happened in that set of benchmarks to be the only ones that have nested parallelism. If you look at the loop as it were sequential and how it's parallelized, these have parallel cores within parallel cores. And that might give you some sense of what you're looking for or dealing with them.
Okay, thank you. Thanks.
So this is really neat. And it seems like this would be a great technique to use more broadly. Do you think, what are the prospects for providing support inside a JVM or in some other mechanism that might be usable for other projects, other researchers? Is this something that could be encapsulated?
I think most of the modern JVMs have some OSR techniques, and basically you can reuse those techniques if you have in a modern JVM to, you know, walk the stack, hold the victim, and, you know, copy the stack frames. So we use JIX RVM. It's quite modern, and it has all the, you know, all these modern techniques. So, but I'm not sure, you know, how well these techniques, you know, are available in other JVM. If they are, you can definitely use them.
Right. I guess I'm thinking maybe this should be a service of the JVM.
Okay.
I have one question.
So
yes,
you run this with the 12 thread on 12 port.
Yes.
What would happen if you actually run more
greater, yeah,
than the thread number, of course?
Okay, so you asked me.
Can you repeat the question?
Yes.
Yeah, so he asked me why we run only with 12 threads. What will happen if we try to run it more than 12? So the answer is we tried that. That is running. We tried up to 24 threads on this 12 cores. So we see a speed up to 12, but after that it's just flat. We don't see any speed up after that. But we don't see any degradation as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.